The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. Those also I must lead, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. That is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I do thank you, first of all the prayers and cards and various gifts and things, and just your presence here today in this, as I celebrate my 25th anniversary, my actual anniversary date is this Tuesday, the 28th. But of course, you know, with family and friends coming from Canada and elsewhere, just decided this weekend to celebrate my anniversary with you. And when I started to plan this a long time ago, I didn't realize that the gospel this Sunday is about Jesus, our priest, our good shepherd. So again, how apropos it is for us to reflect on Jesus, our good shepherd. So when Jesus says in the gospel, he says, a good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So our faith is not theoretical. It is not simply intellectual and theological. It's some of those things. But it's not only those things. In fact, if it's only that, then faith can never really be, you know, sort of amalgamated and incorporated into our lives. Faith has to be lived out. It has to be seen. It has to be visible. It has to be witnessed to in order for it to really make sense for us. And that's certainly been my journey of faith, since growing up. And so when I hear Jesus say, a good shepherd lays down his life for sheep, I know that's true. Why? Because I've seen it lived out in many people, role models in my life, my parents, many good priests, religious sisters like the Ursulines, who taught me in high school, and the St. Joseph sisters, who I worked with in the hospital one summer, you know, and all these kind of people, and of course, families and friends from all over, and now you, my parish family. I see that lived out in people's lives, and I know, therefore, it's possible to live that kind of life of faith. Well, when I was a young boy, I remember every Sunday after Mass, we would go visit my Mimi, my grandmother, dutifully every Sunday. We enjoyed that. She was wonderful, wonderful visit. And anyways, we would visit some of my other aunts and uncles as well. It was just a time, Sunday was a time for family. And my parents were very good about that, very serious about, you know, not working, not, you know, all those kind of things that sometimes people forget today, the Holy Day of the Lord. But it was a good model that my parents showed me. It was about family. Go see your grandmother. Go see your aunts and uncles. Go see those people that are important in your life. And that's again, one of the ways we can make this day holy, the day of the Lord holy. And so one, for example, I would go out to my aunt and uncle Angeline and Jerry Marintet in Pancourt in the village where my mother grew up, where my grandmother also lived. In their bedroom, I remember as a young child, over their bed were two images, one of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and one of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And they were very old. In fact, over time, I came to find out they were turn of the century, 1900s. They had been passed down from family to family member in my uncle's family. And in each, on the back, my aunt had written the history of these images and whose home they had been in, and that kind of thing. And anyways, I remember as a child being fascinated by those images. They were beautiful, they were old, but, you know, just the whole devotional aspect. They were in my grandmother's house, images of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, all those kind of religious images in our family's homes. But in particular, those two images in my uncle and aunt's house always struck me when I would go. And I would always make a point, kind of sneak away at some point by myself and take a peek in their bedroom and the pictures hung over their bed. And I would be fascinated by those, very drawn to them. Well, when I was ordained, my first year of ordination, in my first parish, I invited some of my family members to come for a special rededication of the parish. The parish had just been renovated and needed to be blessed and reconsecrated by the bishop, and I invited my family to come. My aunt and uncle, Jerry, came, and my aunt toted in two large kind of box-like images wrapped in paper, and she gave them to me, so I want you to have these. So when I opened them, I discovered they were, in fact, the very images I had seen as a child and looked every Sunday in their bedroom over their bed, and she had given them to me. And that was very moving. And, you know, I'd never said anything to anyone, neither them nor my parents, that that's what I had done or admired them. So that was very powerful for me. It was a very moving thing. But, you know, it's funny, those little things like that, and this is why I mentioned this story, those little things that affect us. We can never take those things for granted. All those little, what seems to be mundane experiences of life can be very powerful. Again, I remember many of the priests in my life growing up. I remember Father Marentet, who was an African missionary, a white father they were called because their cassocks were white in the African sun, very hot. And he was filling in for about 6 months for our pastor, who was ill at the time. And honestly, I can say I never had any sort of a conversation with him other than, good morning, Father, hello, Father, that kind of thing. I don't remember anything that we said to one another much more than that. However, he, in those 6 months, had a big impact on my life. And I'll tell you why. Because our school, St. Ursula School, adjoined the rectory and the parish, as is the case here. And when we would go out for recess, the yard, the play yard behind the school, adjoined the yard of the rectory. And every day at recess, I would go out with my chums to play, and I would always notice Father Marentet in the backyard of the rectory. And he was walking around, and he had a book in his hand. Now, I didn't know what the book was. I only came to realize later it was his breviary, his prayer book. But I'll tell you this, even though I didn't know what was going on exactly, I knew he was praying. And every day of school that I was in school, every recess, we would see him out there. And, you know, again, as I said, even though I never had any profound conversation with him that I can recall, just that simple witness of this man of prayer, and I knew he was praying. I knew he was praying. You could tell he was a man of prayer. Had a big impact on my life. Father Anderson, my Byzantine pastor and my chaplain at our high school where I went in Chatham, we loved Father Bob. Many of the high school students would come over to his rectory in town, sometimes to talk to him about struggles we were having or whatever. He was very attractive to the young people. And we used to refer to his rectory in French as the Auberge de la Jeunesse, which means youth hostel. And that's the reason why. Dozens and dozens of us in high school were attracted to him. And he was a holy man, a man of prayer, very devoted to his ministry. But he just had that attractive nature about him. And again, especially because he would take the time to listen to us, to talk to us, and encourage us, especially when things weren't going very well. And I remember going to talk to him the year as my mother was sick and ill in hospital and eventually died. He was very pivotal in my life in that time. And really, as a result, one of the biggest influences in my life to become a priest. Of course, I've often mentioned my parents. I want to again mention this because, again, it was so pivotal in seeing that witness of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who lays down his life, who gives himself to his people. Again, in 1979, when my mother died, she was a Catholic school teacher. The week of her funeral visitation, literally hundreds of people came in, teachers, former students, friends, family, to visit and share their condolences with us, their sympathies with us. And over and over again through the visitation during the week, I heard people say, "Your mother helped me when I was a student. She took extra time for me. She visited my home. I was a teacher. She would help me in those first years as I was starting out," and so on and so on and so on. And that was often in my mind that week, all the various ways my mother had been an influence and a help to these people. And then on the day of her funeral, as we were driving out from the parish, St. Ursula's, where we had the funeral mass, to the place where my parents are buried in the village of Pancourt, Ontario, about 4 kilometers from the edge of town, I remember my brothers and I, as we sat in the car, as we approached the cemetery in the village, we turned around and looked behind us, and we saw probably about 4 kilometers a line of cars, all in the funeral cortege. And I remember in that moment, God saying very specifically to me, said, "Dennis, when you die, what will they say about you?" I'll never forget that moment. And that was a pivotal moment for me. My mother's life, all the sacrifices she had made, all the witness to her faith, the care for people in her life, that was a real clincher for me. And that was the moment where I really felt that confirmation that I was called to be a priest. The vestment I'm wearing today, I wore at my very first Mass back in 1990 on April 29th in my home parish of St. Ursula's. And I wear it every Christmas, every Easter, wedding masses, funeral masses, every time I can. It's very precious to me because it was a gift from my family to me for my ordination. And, you know, it's seen 25 years of service, so it's a little worse for wear. There's a few little marks and a little frayed here. It's kind of like me, a little worse for wear through the years, eh? But to me, it's beautiful because it carries 25 years of memories and service and love for God's people. So for me, this is a beautiful vestment. I hear Jesus say in the gospel, again, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I've learned what that means because of the people in my life. And now you, my family here at Most Holy Trinity, you, my parishioners, have taught that to me as well. I've seen that in your lives, in your marriages, in the many people, some of your family members who I've had the privilege to bury, to sit by their side as they lay dying, to visit them in the hospital, to anoint them. All those moments, people who've come to me, shared their problems and struggles, all of that has taught me. That is our good shepherd. Again, Jesus says in the gospel, "I know mine and they know me." That's what I've learned all these 25 years and through lives of service. And you're part of that story of the 25 years as well. Jesus says finally at the end of the gospel, he says, "I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own." I think that's very powerful. Nobody made Jesus go to the cross. Nobody made me become a priest. I did that in response to God's call. I did it joyfully, and I did it happily. And I'm very grateful that I said yes to the Lord in his call in my life. And I'm grateful for your yes, and for the many ways in which here at Most Holy Trinity, you have encouraged me and prayed for me and supported me in my priestly ministry. And I hope that, again, we'll have many more years of service and time together in ministry, working together to build God's kingdom here in Fowler, here in this part of God's world. So again, I recommit myself, like Jesus says, I lay it down on my own. I do it freely. Once again, these 25 years, I do it for the future. I hope that we'll all join together in recommitting ourselves to serving the Lord. God bless you.